The very first sermon I ever preached here was 9 years ago, because Lalo had gone out of town, and I was working with Don Wilson. You were in Cuba, I think. I think it was the trip Danielle went with you, actually. So I'm not expecting you to remember what I preached then. But it was another 7 years until I would come before you. And the first, my audition Sunday morning, I guess it was, I taught a lesson about what it means to be a living sacrifice from Romans chapter 12. And what I did is I drew back a lot on the sacrificial system of the Old Testament to talk about what it means and what it implies and how it relates to us and how those passages in Leviticus, in the opening chapters of Leviticus, are not as dry and boring, at least they shouldn't be as dry and boring as they often seem to us, because they're rich and they're full with meaning. What I want to do today is I want to go back to looking at things that way a little bit, and I want for us to look again at the Old Testament. Look at the Old Testament. Look at something, one thing in the Old Testament, and I want for us to understand, really understand it today. What I want to start off is I want for us to ask ourselves a question. How many of us know what the Sabbath was? Right? What the Sabbath was, right? The Sabbath, okay. Seventh day of the week, last day of the week, right? Okay. They were told not to do any work, right? Why? Why were they told not to do any work? That's why I wanted to, I asked for the scripture reading to be Mark chapter 2 this morning. Jesus is there having a debate with the Pharisees. Well, they're there. They're walking along the road on the Sabbath. They're walking through grain fields, and they're picking up stalks of grain, he and his disciples, as they're going along, and they're just stripping the grain off the stalk, and they're eating it because they're hungry, and they're walking, so you get exercise when you walk. Not that some of us would know that. But the Pharisees begin to question him. Well, why are you guys doing, why are you picking grain on the Sabbath? That's work. No, it's not. But Jesus says, you fundamentally do not understand the Sabbath. That's what he tells the Pharisees. You fundamentally do not understand what it is and what it's for. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And that's sort of the general thing that he states there. He said, but behind it is that attitude. You fundamentally just do not understand. So if Jesus had that issue with the Pharisees, and if he thought it was important enough to raise it and to say, you do not understand what this is for, how many of us can say that we really understand the Sabbath? Okay. When was the last time we had a concrete study of the Sabbath in a Bible class? Okay. But constantly, all you have to do is just look in a concordance. Look in any concordance you can find, any exhaustive concordance, and look for Sabbath, Sabbaths, and rest. Those three words. And you begin to see that it appears a lot. And if something is in the Bible a whole lot, then, well, it's probably pretty important. So what I want for us to do is I want for us to look at the Sabbath, but specifically, I want for us to understand the fourth commandment and what it's really all about. Because when we look at the Sabbath and we look at it deeply and we sort of pick it apart, what we see is we see Jesus. We see Jesus in the Sabbath. That's why the commandment was given. And that's what the commandment leads to. So hopefully that's what we're going to see as we go throughout the remainder of our study this morning. So the very first thing that we have to do when we talk about seeing Jesus in the Sabbath is we have to look at where the Sabbath comes from. What are its origins? How does God first give it to the children of Israel? What is it really all about? So the first thing, like I said, we got to look at the beginning. So the beginning of the Sabbath lies, of course, those of us who are Bible students know, in the creation. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Here, God, just having finished the creation of the world, this is part of the creation narrative. Chapter 1 is all about that. And so chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, all of them, the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. So this is the origin. This is where it comes from. But notice, you will not find the word Sabbath in this passage. Because the concept of the Sabbath does actually not yet exist. The foundation for it is laid in the narrative, but let's remember, the narrative, this narrative wasn't written until the life of Moses. So all those years, Abraham, no Sabbath. Noah, no Sabbath. No Sabbath. Sabbath only comes in with Moses. Now, the instruction is given in the creation narrative, much of which may have been around in oral tradition before the time of Moses, but until the time of Moses, it had not yet been written down. The first time it actually appears, anyone want to take a guess? Not the Ten Commandments, but it is in Exodus. It's in Exodus chapter 16. Specifically, it's found in verses 22 through 30. Now, we're not going to read all of this because it's a pretty long text, and there's more important things that I want for us to get to read. But this text is regarding gathering manna while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, and this is before even Mount Sinai. They had just passed through the Red Sea. They were on their way to Mount Sinai, and here they are saying, well, we don't have any food, and so God provides them food. And the instructions that God provides is every day in the morning there would be here's the interesting thing about manna. In Hebrew, manna is manhu, which means, what is this? What is this stuff? I don't know what to call it. I don't know how it appeared. So manhu, what is it, is actually a really great word for it. Because I don't know how it appeared. I'm not going to speculate. I'm not going to waste my time like that. But whatever it was that appeared, that they took and fashioned it and baked into bread, into cakes, into grain-based foodstuffs. It appeared every morning, except on the seventh day of the week, which is actually a new concept for the Israelites. Because most Mediterranean cultures, up until the nation of Israel, had a 10-day week, not a 7-day week. So what God does is he redefines their understanding of time with the Sabbath. He redefines time for them. He says, think of it in 7 days, not 10 days. They were the first culture to do this that we know of. Everyone else that we know of had a 10-day week before. So here they are, and they have this 7-day week. And the 6th day, they were to gather twice as much because there wasn't going to be any on the 7th day. And so the very first time this happens, people wake up, and they go outside to gather manna, and it's the 7th day of the week, and there's none of it lying on the ground, and they're hungry all day long. But at the end of every day, the extra manna would spoil except the end of the 6th day. What they gathered on the 6th day was good, and it kept until the 7th day. So the people who did gather twice as much on the 6th day and woke up, and lo and behold, this manna was not spoiled, and they could use it on the 7th day of the week. But this is the first time the Sabbath is instructed. And when what we find here is we find the Sabbath connected with not gathering manna. That's the only thing the Sabbath is connected with yet. The next time the Sabbath occurs is in Exodus chapter 20. It's one of the Ten Commandments. So we are going to read these one. And we're also going to come back to it later. But we're going to read it now. As far as words in Hebrew, that are devoted to any of the Ten Commandments, there are more Hebrew words devoted to the commandment regarding the Sabbath than any of the other 10. I know the last one. Well, actually, no. It flat out is. It's got more words devoted to it in Hebrew than any of the other commandments. It has more words devoted to it in Greek, in the Septuagint, than any of the other commandments. And in English, when I look at the breakdown of the 10 commandments, yep, the Sabbath has more words associated with it in English, too. This is the way the ESV reads. He says, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the 7th day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord God made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the 7th day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he made it holy. There are more words devoted to the Sabbath in the Ten Commandments than any of the others. It's so important to the identity of the Israelites that in Exodus chapter 31, when God is giving instructions to the Israelites about the Sabbath again while Moses is up there on the mountain. So the first thing God does is he tells them about the Sabbath and the Ten Commandments, and then once they make the covenant with God in Exodus 24, Moses goes back up onto the mountain and he gets more instruction, and right before that little episode of the golden calf happens, this is what God is saying before that happens. He's talking about the Sabbath. And this is Exodus chapter 31. This is starting in verse 12. And the Lord said to Moses, you are to speak to the people of the children, or the people of Israel, and say, above all. Now, when God says above all, what do you think God means? Above all. Now, what are the two greatest commandments in the law? Help me out here, brothers and sisters. Number one is what? Love your God. Number two is love your neighbor. Okay? I submit to you that number three for the Israelites was keep the Sabbath. I submit to you that. Number three for them was keep the Sabbath. And it is for us too in a different way. In a different way. But it's just as important. The principle behind the Sabbath is just as important for us as it was for them. So, above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between you and me throughout your generations, that you shall know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest. There's a difference. Solemn rest. Holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath shall be put to death. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant. This is the Sabbath was one of their covenant memorial reminder signs. As a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. This is the origin of the Sabbath commandments, the Sabbath understanding. And as God develops the law further, speaking through Moses the prophet, he extends the Sabbath to include the very land itself. Every 7 years you were to plant no crops, you were to let the land have rest. And then the Sabbath itself got a Sabbath later with the year of Jubilee. After every seventh Sabbath year, there was the year of Jubilee. So the year of Jubilee was the Sabbath of the Sabbaths. And it continues on. And here's where I'd like to go off and talk about all that, but then I'd be preaching until we had evening services at 5. So I won't do that. So this is where it comes from. If they were commanded to do no work, to rest themselves, rest their servants, rest their slaves, rest their animals, why? What was the purpose behind all this? What was the purpose behind forcing a day in which they could not do things as they usually did? We actually find a lot of illumination about this in the Scripture. What the Sabbath was really for. One of the most fascinating texts that tells us about what the Sabbath was for actually has nothing to say about the Sabbath itself. This text is actually Psalm 92. And we're not going to read all of it, not by a long shot, because we just don't have the time. But the fascinating thing about Psalm 92 is that in the oldest manuscripts we have, there is a commentary by the people who compiled the book of the Psalms that they actually insert before the psalm itself that this is a song for the Sabbath. Which is why in every single English translation of the Bible that I can find, this says, a song of the Sabbath. And God's people, the Israelites, usually gathered and the priests usually sang songs on the occasion. Well, when do we sing songs? When we come together to worship. Right? When we come together to worship. They sang songs when they came to the temple. The priests would sing the songs, rather, when they came to the temple to worship, to offer sacrifice, to come before God and pay homage to who he was and what he did. The Sabbath is also tied into their very identity of God's people. What I want for us to do now is I want for us to look at how the Sabbath is mentioned by the prophet Isaiah. So the first thing we're going to go to is Isaiah chapter 56. We're going to look at some of the promises that were made regarding the Sabbath. But tied in with the Sabbath, though, look at the way Isaiah opens this oracle. He says, "Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come, and my deliverance will be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the Son of Man who holds it fast." Now, when the Old Testament prophets usually talk about the Son of Man, especially from Isaiah chapter 40 verses and on, who are we usually talking about? We're usually talking about Jesus. So Isaiah is talking about Jesus, righteousness, and deliverance. Well, we understand that, right? Those are things commonly associated with Christ in the prophets. And then what we see right after that is who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Jesus is the greatest example there is of keeping, of what it means to keep the Sabbath. This is what Isaiah is saying here in this prophecy. And what God does further on in this text is he takes two groups of people in the nation of Israel that were looked down upon, eunuchs, who could not bear children, and proselytes, people who were not born under the covenant of Israel but became a part of it through the process of proselytization. And he takes both of those two people and he promises them the thing that their heart most desires if they keep the Sabbath. The eunuch who could have no children, whose name would die when he died, God promises him a name forever if he kept the Sabbath. The proselyte, who was not born a member of the nation of Israel but became a part of the Mosaic covenant by choice, would be most worried about being cut off from the commonwealth of Israel, reverted back to his Gentile status. But what God promises him is, if you keep the Sabbath, you will be before my throne and you will be in my temple in my presence forever. If you keep the Sabbath. It looks like the Sabbath is mighty important, doesn't it? Next text I want to look at is Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. And specifically, we're going to start reading where we're going to read the last two verses of this chapter. God says through the prophet, he says, "If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day." One of the things that was wrong with the children of Israel at this time is they were treating the Sabbath as their day of rest and pleasure and doing whatever they wanted. Sounds like Saturday, right? But that's not what God designed the Sabbath for. It was a day of rest, but it wasn't a day of rest for my pleasure. It was a day of rest for his pleasure. It was a day of rest for my good, whether I understood it or not. "From doing your pleasure on my holy day and calling the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable. If you honor it, not going your own ways, not seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, wasting your time, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." The Sabbath was not for personal pleasure. The Sabbath was for honoring God. The last text I want to read regarding this is from Jeremiah chapter 17. So everybody turn there if you would. Jeremiah chapter 17. Specifically verses 21 through 27. We may not read all of it, but we'll read some of this. "Thus says the Lord, take care for the sake of your lives And do not bear burden on the Sabbath day or bring it into the gates of Jerusalem. Do not carry a burden on your houses and on the Sabbath or do any work, but keep the Sabbath day holy as I commanded your fathers. Yet they did not listen or incline their ear, but they stiffened their neck that they might not hear and receive instruction. But if you listen to me, declares the Lord, and bring no burden by the gates of the city on the Sabbath day, but keep the Sabbath day holy and do no work on it, then you shall enter by the gates of this city, then shall enter by the gates of this city kings and princes who sit on the throne of David, riding in chariots on horses, they and their officials, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. This city shall be inhabited forever. A lot of interesting things going on. One of the problems here that Jeremiah talks about was the nation of Judah was engaging in commerce in the city of Jerusalem on the Sabbath. They were trading. They were doing business. But that wasn't to be done. And what God says is, if you stop doing that, and if you do what I told you, then kings will enter through the gates of Jerusalem. Kings who sit on the throne of David. And the city will be established forever. Jerusalem. The new city, the new Jerusalem established forever, evokes imagery of the church and of Jesus. The king who sits on the throne of David forever, well, that's Jesus himself. And God is pointing to that all at the same time, wrapped up with all this instruction about the Sabbath. Again, which I find very interesting. Why don't we talk about this more? This is the purpose of the Sabbath. To remember God, to honor God. Next, what we have to do is we have to go to the meaning of the Sabbath, which is again different from its purpose. The purpose is to honor God, but what lies behind the purpose is where it all is. Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. If ever there were texts that were foundations about who the nation of Israel was at their very core, the core of their identity. This is one of them. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. Holiness. You want to know what word is associated with the Sabbath more often than any other? Remember the Sabbath, keep it what? Holy. This is the Sabbath. It is a day that is what? Holy to the Lord. This is a day that is holy for you. The Sabbath and holiness go hand in hand. The nation of Israel was to be a nation that was holy. They were to be set apart. They were to be different. They were to be distinct. They were to be a people for God's purpose, not for their own purpose. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. This is where Moses in the book of Deuteronomy says almost exactly the same thing. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. Moses says to the children of Israel, he says, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth." When we think about the Ten, the concept of the Sabbath is at the heart of the Ten Commandments. The Sabbath is at the heart of the Ten Commandments. I really do believe that. When we separate the Ten Commandments, we often say, well, the first four are about God, and the last six are about other people, right? The first four are vertical, the others are horizontal. Right? That's how we often do it. And in essence, that's kind of true, but I would say that's true, but I would slightly separate them even more. I would create a third category. You see, the first three commandments, what they do, no other gods before me, no carved images, no nothing like that. The first three commandments ensure that we treat God as holy. That's what they do. That's their function, their purpose. And the last six ensure that our actions are holy when we deal with other people, that we think of God. The first three are commandments that we think holy. The last six are commandments that we be holy. Okay? First three, think holy. Second, the last six, be holy. But what about number four, the one in between? The fourth commandment. guarantees that we have the time to develop holiness. This is at the heart of this act. The reason they were told to do no work. The reason they were told not to engage in commerce. The reason they were told to take a rest is so that they could learn how to be God's people. The reason they were told to worship on the Sabbath is to come, hear the law, and learn about God. This is the purpose behind this commandment. This is the reason why it was given. This is the whole meaning of what the Sabbath means. It means to learn how to be holy, to learn how to be God's people. When you've got someone who is a brand new Christian, just become a child of God, are they going to understand 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9? You're a holy nation, a kingdom of priests, a people for his own possession, who have been called to proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Are they going to understand what that passage means? No. Are they going to understand what 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 says? For it is written, it starts in verse 15, you shall be holy in all that you do. For it is written, I, the Lord your God, am holy, so you shall be holy, for I am holy. And he quotes from Leviticus 11:12 when he says that, or 11:44 when he says that. The song request, you may be beginning to see, was my request. It takes time to learn how to be holy. We have to make a conscious effort to this. We have to decide that we will seek God, that we will seek Christ, that we have to understand that Jesus teaches us the very meaning of holiness and he shows us how to develop it. When he teaches us about holiness, what he says holiness starts on the inside. When he talks about the Sermon on the Mount, he says, yeah, it says don't murder, but if you really want to get to what's important, don't hate. It says, yes, I know, it says don't commit adultery, but if you want to really get to the heart of that, don't start fantasizing about people who aren't your spouse. Yeah, don't take revenge, but instead of just not taking revenge, it's better to forgive, because then revenge becomes unnecessary. Holiness starts in here. And if I want to transform myself, if I want to learn how to be holy as God is holy, this is not a magical process that happens overnight. Just ask anyone who's ever tried to lose weight. It takes time to be holy. You want to know why we assemble? We assemble to remember our covenant with God. Our worship assemblies are a covenant reminder sign, but they're also the reason we have the covenant reminder signs is so that we can learn more and understand more about our covenant with God, so we can learn to be holy as God is holy. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, the Sabbath, what lies behind, the true Sabbath is just as important for us as it was for them. And I'm not talking about a day of rest. I'm not saying we have to sit around on Saturday and do nothing. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not turning in Seventh-day Adventist, don't worry. But the true Sabbath, setting apart time to learn how to be holy to God, that's the true Sabbath. I guarantee you is just as important for us as it is for any other child of God in any period of history, at any time in the whole face of the earth. It takes time to learn how to forgive. It takes time to learn how to discipline the mind. It takes time to learn how to love. It takes time to learn how to sacrifice instead of take. It takes time to be holy. And the purpose of the Sabbath was to guarantee that we have that time Now we who are under the new covenant are not under this commandment of one day a week. We who are under the new covenant understand that every single opportunity, every single day of the week in which we have to sit to talk about the Word of God with our brothers and sisters, to come to worship God here and hear a portion of His Word, that every single moment, that is a Sabbath for us. Every minute we have in which to open our Bible and read His Word is a Sabbath for us. We're blessed because we have more Sabbaths than they did. We have more opportunities than they did. Because the Sabbath happens for us all the time. And I promise you it's just as important for us as it was for them. We often say that we who are under the new covenant are bound by 9 of the 10 commandments because the first 3 and the last 6 are repeated somewhere in the New Testament, right? So we're bound by those. What's the only covenant we're not bound by? The Sabbath. You really think that? We are bound by the Sabbath. Not in the first day of the week. Like I said, I'm not turning into a Seventh-day Adventist. Don't worry. But we are bound by what drives the Sabbath. The true Sabbath. What Jesus did that very day back in Mark 2 is one of the most beautiful moments of holiness in the Scripture. Because there on the Sabbath, they're there, and it's the Sabbath day, and they gripe at Jesus for picking grain. And they fail to see that what He's doing when He's picking the grain is He's teaching His disciples the law of God. That's what was happening when they were walking by the way, and when they were walking through the fields. He was teaching His disciples the law of God, and they interrupt the Sabbath to gripe about the Sabbath. Which pretty much sums up the Pharisees in general. We should be people of the Sabbath. People of the new covenant Sabbath. People of the true Sabbath. Who devote every opportunity we have to learning more about the Word of God. To devote every time we have at our disposal to learn how to be holy. And if we want to learn, we learn from Jesus. And it starts in here. If you want to give your life to Christ, if you want to start a life of holiness before God, if you want to learn how to be who and what He wants you to be, the first thing we do, Jesus said, if anyone wants to be my disciple, let him first deny himself. Like the people of Judah in the days of Jeremiah, stop living the Sabbath for your pleasure, for your profit. Live your whole life now for God's profit. And the blessings we receive in return are indescribable. We have water prepared for your death to this life and your birth in a life of Christ. If you want to be immersed into Jesus, now's the time, today's the day. All things are in readiness. If that's what you'd like to do, or if there's any other prayer we can offer on your behalf, please come forward and let us know what that is as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.